Okay.
Okay.
Imagine treatment and support services. Bear with me just 1 second.
Right.
Okay, here we go. Five, four, three, two, one. Good morning and welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello. I'm Director of Community Health Relations for the Ulster County Department of Health. Today, we're going to be talking about women's cancer prevention, treatment, and support services. And we have with us Ellen Marshall. Ellen is Director of the Oncology Support Program at Health Alliance Hospital, WMC Health Network. Welcome, Ellen. Welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, Ellen, it's great to have you. And can you start by giving our audience just a brief introduction to yourself, your role in the oncology support program, and just an overview of some of the support and services that it offers to families, patients and families going through cancer treatment?
Sure. So my name is Ellen Marshall, and I'm an oncology social worker and also the director of the oncology support program. And I've been the director of the program for almost 12 years. The program was actually founded in quite a while ago in 1994, and it began as a simple breast cancer support group, but it evolved to become a much more comprehensive program serving people with all cancer diagnoses. And it's really a community-based program. We serve the entire community, not just the folks that are getting treatment at Health Alliance Hospital, although they're certainly our primary focus. And so our social workers connect with people at our infusion center while they're in active treatment. But for the past 15 years, we have been housed at the Ruhnert Cancer Support House, which is located at 80 Mary's Avenue across the street from the Health Alliance Hospital's main campus, which is now at Mary's Avenue. There was a really big community effort back then to establish the house, and it's a home-like setting with a healing garden in the backyard, and it's a place where people come for personalized support. And since COVID, most of our groups are offered both virtually as well as in person. So we're able to reach more people. And since the Health Alliance Hospital is now part of the broader Westchester Medical Center Health Network, we're able to offer our virtual groups to even to cancer patients further down south. So, yeah, do you want me to give you an idea of what kind of supports?
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, because it's pretty broad. Cancer can dramatically alter a person's life in so many ways. So we really try to meet the person where he or she is. Sometimes it's the logistical and financial challenges that people struggle with. When a person gets diagnosed with cancer, sometimes they can't work for a while or indefinitely. So we do whatever we can to help people access benefits, financial and community resources. And the system, healthcare system, as you know, is pretty complicated and overwhelming, especially if you're sick. So we do what we can to help people navigate the system. And also, we live in an incredibly generous community, and there's some, very generous financial assistance programs that we help people access to help them through challenging times. But it's really the emotional consequences of cancer that we as social workers address. And sometimes it's during treatment that people ask for support, but even more often it's when treatment is over that people are struck with the need to make sense of what they just went through and deal with the consequences of their diagnosis and treatment. So, regardless of where people are in their cancer trajectory or their stage of diagnosis, we offer support, and mostly we help people connect with one another through varied support groups and healing arts programs and wellness programs, because we find that through connection, really, that's how people find support and healing.
Now I have a good friend that's going through a major challenge with cancer. He has for the past 2 years, and when I talk to him, you could sense the fear in his voice, but also when he describes the ordeal of trying to navigate through this, as you mentioned, complex system. I mean, if you're a lay person and you've never encountered this before, where do you even start? How do you know where to, you start with your own doctor, obviously, but there are so many different specialists, and it's a whole other universe to learn about, essentially. I could imagine how daunting that is.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely is daunting. And, we have some resources, more and more resources in our community, since, Westchester is involved. But, there are specialists in certain types of cancers. And so, it's really falls on the person and whoever is supporting that person to try to find the right doctors and to try to find the care centers that are most. That are the centers of excellence for that specific kind of cancer that they may have. And one of the good things about our community is that our medical oncologist does work with larger institutions if he feels that the input from larger institutions would be helpful to the course of that person's care. So sometimes it helps to start local with an oncologist, medical oncologist, and move from there so that you can try to get the best care possible. But it's definitely challenging. A lot of people are searching the internet, trying to figure out what kind of cancer they have, understand the dynamics of it and the mechanics of it, and of the treatment recommendations. So it's very tricky. And that's just the cancer part. Then there's the navigating. Do I have to apply for disability or do I have
Right.
to
Work issues,
work
transportation
issues,
barriers.
transportation barriers. There are so many barriers. And we try to really help people with that. I mean, obviously we can't do it all, but we really try to help guide people where they should reach out. There are other community resources that we have relationships with that can help people with applying for disability or applying for Medicaid, even if they, need to, or applying for Medicare, and what kind of plan should you use? I mean, it's so incredibly complicated. I've been in this for a lot of years, and everything changes, can just change overnight. And then you have to start again trying to figure out the best way for people to access resources, insurance.
I mean, we had our county Medicare specialist in for a show a couple of weeks back, and he was just explaining the variances in the plan, the plan out options between Medicare Advantage and not advan you know not and the different optional supplementary programs. And I thought I was pretty well versed on some of these things, being working in the health department, but it was real eye-opener for me, and I find this like with a lot of situations that we deal with here at the health department, where those of us who even know the ins and outs of the system, whether it be like access to mental health care or substance use disorder or whatever, we think we know what the system is like and how to find one can find their way through it. But then it's just kind of like a maze that keeps on expanding, and it's really hard. It's hard to wrap your mind. And when you're sick, I think that that's really. That puts an extra burden, right? Because you're just you're worried about so many things and occupied with so many things. So with respect to the care and treatment that's available, so there's a local oncologist, but is going to the internet is like going to a gigantic, a ma you know a humongous library, with tons of information. Is there any way in which either your oncologist or you or anyone curates that data and information into a place where people can, input what's going on with them, and that recommendations would be, generated from that?
Yeah, well, unfortunately,
I'm just
it's not
curious. I'm just
that
curious.
simple. That would be wonderful, right? If you could input your the stage and the nature of your cancer and have all that information at your fingertips. But unfortunately, that doesn't exist. I mean, there are websites that are reliable for the layperson. That people can go to, even the American Cancer Society has websites, or Sloan Kettering has a website that has a lot of really good information. Some of the larger institutions will, and it would be, for the layperson and a little bit more advanced layperson. But we also sometimes people will call us, just, "I just got diagnosed. I have no idea what to do. I'm freaking out and I'm so lost." And I think it helps to be able to talk to somebody, to land, to get some reliable resources, because like you say, scouring the internet can be really overwhelming and often very deceptive.
Yeah, because there are for-profit organizations out there that are ready to pounce, I'm sure.
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah. Well, Ellen, this is really good information, and we want to learn a lot more about your program and the services of WMC Health. So, but first, we're going to take a very short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio, and we'll be back after these words. All right.
Okay. All
Great. That
right.
was
That
good.
was okay.
Yeah.
So what you should ask me maybe next is, let me just look here. How much time do we have here?
Well, we're going to have a whole another 11 minutes and
Yeah,
45
I
seconds.
have a lot to get into.
Tell me where you want to start.
Yeah, let me just see. So why don't you say the question in addition to medical, can you tell us a little bit about the emotional support your program offers? I guess that's what he said, and why it's integral to holistic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good. All right. Well, if you're ready, we will come back. So let's begin. Five, four, three, two, one. Welcome back. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Today, we're discussing women's cancer prevention, treatment, and support services with Ellen Marshall, who's director of the Oncology Support Program at Health Alliance Hospital, WMC Health Network. And Ellen, before the break, we were talking, you gave us an overview at the beginning of the program of the Oncology Support Center. But medical care, as you mentioned, is just one aspect of a cancer diagnosis. There are also very real emotional and psychological supports that are vital. Can you talk about that a bit?
Yeah, definitely. Even when people have wonderful family or social support, cancer can be really alienating. Sometimes people feel like they're burdening their family or friends. So, that's really why our support program is so invaluable. It's a place where people can talk to one another and talk to people who know what they're going through. It's a place where people can share their fears, their anxieties, their grief, you name it. So at this point, we have a number of support groups, and there are a lot. So we have a group for a women's cancer support group, a younger women's cancer support group, because younger women have their own special, unique needs when it comes to cancer and the effects of treatment. We have a group for men, for caregivers. We have a breast cancer support group. a specific group for people living with advanced cancer, where people can talk about the challenges of living with a terminal diagnosis. We also have a coping skills group where we practice stress management skills, mindfulness practices, things that can help people really cope with the trauma of having cancer, because cancer is pretty traumatic. It can be pretty traumatic.
I can only
So as
imagine.
social workers, we're really, helping people deal with that trauma. The other thing, though, is that what our program has is some amazing healing arts programs. We find that people want to come together, but sometimes they don't want to talk about their cancer. They just want to be with other people to, other like-minded people who know what they're going through. So, since we live in an incredibly generous and talented community, as you know, we have people who have volunteered to offer groups. We have a weekly creative arts group where people get a chance to kind of be together in a meaningful, soothing, calming way. We have a new songwriting workshop for people who are
Nice.
performing songs related to their cancer experience or that of a loved one. And we're really proud to have these two amazing writing, memoir writing groups. One of them has been going on now for 10 years, and it's facilitated by a pretty well-known Woodstock writer, Abigail Thomas. And these people in these groups, they form really deep connections to one another by sharing their writings. And we actually even had a book that was self-published called Holding On, Letting Go. And it's a book that has really left a legacy for from the people who were in the group, some of whom are no longer with us. We find that people really need connection and they need expression. And it's just an opportunity for people to really share in meaningful ways. We've even had some art shows and community readings of people's work so people can share their art and writings with family and friends and with the whole community. So, yeah.
That's really terrific, and social connectivity is considered now by the public health community writ large as the most influential factor in not only individual health and wellness, but community health and wellness, and that, because as human beings, we're hardwired to be social creatures, and that connection to others and certainly writing and arts are a wonderful expression of that, that connection. So that's great. And also it seems like the focus, to focus on a given person's contribution to the world, to their families, to their communities, to their experiences that they want to share with others. So it kind of takes some of the focus, I would think, off of the disease and putting it more on, the difference that that person has made in the world.
Right, exactly. That, we really, help people find meaning and purpose and in light of a very challenging experience. And people really appreciate that. And we
Yeah.
also the other thing is wellness. We're really, as a program, very focused on wellness. And we've organized, we have some yoga classes, some Tai Chi classes, some guided imagery and meditation classes that we offer to people. We know that as, the extent, if we can help people, move through their cancer experience with some health, some agency that they can impact their own health. Or some calmness, then they can get through it a little bit easier. And it's not only just during treatment though, because a lot of times during treatment, people are just trying to muscle their way through and just get through because it's pretty brutal. But It's after treatment is over that, sometimes people say, I need to get my health back, and my inner calm back. So, we really try to do what we can to help people, be well and
And
healthy.
dispelled some of the fear too of what they just experienced, I would imagine. So I'm glad you brought up some of the wellness services, because that takes me into my next question about the prevention, to extent that prevention is possible and available. There are screenings for cancer. I'm familiar with some of them, things like colonoscopies and those types of things. But can you kind of give, from your perspective, an overview of some of the available screenings and what they're for, how they help?
Not all cancers can be screened for, but so the cancers primarily for which there are screening tools as are colon cancer, as you said, cervical cancer, and breast cancer. Obviously, those are the three that can be really. Oh, and also lung cancer. If somebody has a certain history of smoking or other. Other predispositions, there is lung cancer screening that's available, low dose lung cancer screening. But there are other cancers that can't be screened for. And gynecologic cancer is one of those tricky ones because there is no screening for ovarian cancer, for example, and there is no real screening for endometrial or uterine cancer, but there are symptoms that people need to be aware of. Often those symptoms get overlooked or viewed as some other condition, and it takes a while until a diagnosis happens. So we really encourage people to really still stay connected to your doctor, to stay connected to your body. So ovarian cancer is really important in that regard. It used to be called the silent killer, but actually it isn't silent. There are symptoms of ovarian cancer and but they're vague, abdominal bloating, distension, pelvic pain, urinary frequency, the change in bowel habits. I mean, it's easy to be seen as just some other condition, right? Those are pretty general conditions, but women need to take their and people need to be mindful of changes, kind of sudden changes in their bodies that are going on for a few weeks or more, and speak to their doctors and really make sure that they alert their doctors about those kinds of symptoms.
And also, I'm sure, with all illness, with all prevention and wellness, we get into the fact there are lifestyle choices and health, health conditions. So, they're the obvious ones, like smoking, which is the lead, the accounts for 4 out of the 5 of the leading causes of death in Ulster County. Smoking is just completely hazardous to one's health. And but also there are things like exercise and smart eating, things like that. Is that something you all emphasize too when you speak to clients?
We've had a cooking class that has been it's called the miso cooking class that has been going on through our program for many, many years, and it's really encouraging a plant-based diet. Yeah, there are certain cancers, not all, but there are certain cancers that obesity and dietary factors are risk factors for those kinds of cancers. Certain types of breast cancers, certain types of endometrial cancers, obviously certain types of colon cancers. There definitely are modifiable risk factors for certain kinds of cancers, and then there's also people who are the healthiest people in the world, and all of a sudden, they get cancer. So, it's certainly not every cancer.
Not a guarantee by any, but in any
Really
case,
important. Yeah, it's really important that we do what we can do if there are cancers that are affected by those modifiable risk factors and work on modifying them, right?
Yes, absolutely. So, Ellen, before we run out of time, which we are rapidly doing, can you tell folks how to get in touch with the oncology support program and where they get more info?
I will give you our phone number. The Oncology Support Program phone number is 845. 339-2071. And we can also be emailed at oncology.support@hahv.org, healthalliancehudsonvalley.org. And we also you can ring our bell at 80 Mary's Avenue in Kingston during working hours. I
Wonderful.
also just want to mention that Dr. Shonda St. Jean is giving a program on gynecologic health for postmenopausal women. So if you're interested in that program, give us a call or send us an email, and we can, it's virtual as well as in person. We're into
Well,
giving some
great.
additional tips for people.
Well, thank you, Ellen. Thank you so much. We are out of time. Thank you so much for the work you and your colleagues do. It's really valuable. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. Bye-bye. All right, that was good. Yeah,
Okay.
that was good.
All right. I hope so. All
Yeah, it's
right.
fine.
Yeah.
I was just trying to fill in some space here and there, but I think you did great.
Okay,
We
great. Yeah.
covered everything, I think.
I think we covered a lot. And that's great. It's a lot of a half hour is a lot of time and never enough. So it's all
I tell you, I've been talking to my friend. This happens to be one of my best friends who's been struggling with cancer for 2 years. And last week he called me on a Monday, and it was like, basically saying that he can't take it anymore, that he doesn't want to be here anymore, just like suicidal ideation. It's like, it's so heartbreaking, because it's like been one step forward and then 2 steps back, and it's just it's a nightmarish scenario that he's going through. And I just like, gosh, that's just,
Yeah.
he's so brave. I mean, I would not be half as brave, honestly.
Oh,
It,
I
it's
know.
It's amazing.
And the treatment is, it can be really brutal, and depending on the kind of cancer, and the prognosis is not always good, right? And so, it's trying to figure out as a person, how to be with the situation that is,
And this guy was like a health freak, from food to exercise to everything, not a fanatic, but just like one of the healthiest lifestyles I've ever encountered. It's like,
What kind of cancer is it?
I think it's called, he has colon cancer.
I see, right.
Yeah. I haven't gotten into a deep discussion with him because I feel like people share as much as they want to,
Right, right.
I have to like chill out by myself for like an hour after I talk to him because it's so close to home,
He's struggling with the treatment or the prognosis or the
Everything, the prognosis, the symptomatic collateral symptoms, just yeah. I mean, it's got stage 4 metastatic, cancer, so it's like, he'll go for treatment, things will be fine for a month, and then boom, back at, it then
Oh my
the whole, you know what I
goodness.
mean? So it's just like a recurring thing for over almost 2.5 years now, and it's just
That
it's
not
wearing on him. His wife is a minister in a Episcopalian church, so he's got the church group there, but traveling back and forth to New York City, going to this doctor and that doctor, getting,
right. Oh my God. Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah.
But all, I mean, that really all I can do is really pray for him, and be there for him, just from my perspective,
And I think too, at a certain point, people make decisions about how they want to move or if they want to keep getting treatment, and that's
Yeah.
a loaded
Well, that's
place.
what he said, is that he can't do, he can't do anymore. It's like, he's not interested in, incurring more, torture for,
For a
on
few
the,
more months, maybe.
yep.
Exactly. I mean, those are really important conversations for people to have. And sometimes, we really invite those conversations with people, because it's hard to have those conversations with the people that are, love you, right? It's sometimes easier to really like start those conversations or have them with somebody who, knows that those are important conversations to have,
Yeah.
They
I
choose.
also think that physician-assisted suicide, to me, the right to die with dignity, to me, in my opinion, is a fundamental human right, that people,
I know. It's incredible how we do it to animals and not to people, right?
Yeah, I mean, it should be, with safeguards, so that there's no abuse, but we have a panel of a doctor, an attorney, or two doctors concurring, so that there's no funny business. But, I mean, it's your life, you should have the right, to determine that, hey, I just don't want to endure any more of this suffering,
Right. Definitely. Yeah.
All right,
Yeah.
well,
Oh boy. All right. Well, if you want to tell him to give us a call, you got my number.
I think he has some pretty good he's working with a rabbi that like it's close to, and and he's but I do, and he's got hospice working with him now too, down over in Dutchess County. So,
Okay. All right. Well, that's
but
good.
good. Yeah, well, thank you so much, Ellen. Really, the work that you do is God's work. Thank you.
You for having me.
All
Okay.
right. All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.